Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2, and what a T20 series it's been between England and India. The hosts edging it 3-2, of course, after a thriller in a winner-takes-all series finale. I'm Neil Manthorpe, and today I'm joined by Double Ashes winner, the great Steve Harmison, to discuss all the major talking points from the five-game series. We'll talk about whether David Malan is the man to get England forward batting at number three, ask whether there is pressure on both Chris Jordan and Sam Curran, and we'll also head to Delhi to see how India are reacting to the series victory. As well as that, we'll bring you reaction from the England camp. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Well, Harmy, Owen Morgan raised the stakes, didn't he, by insisting on having a full-strength squad and then not rotating. He certainly showed his hand of cards in terms of what he regards as his best 11. And yet he's walked away with a 3-2 series loss. So that would probably feel a bit more of a disappointment and a setback than it might have done if it had just been a normal bilateral series.
Yeah, I think so. But I think all in all, I think England have played some fantastic cricket. This has been a good series performance-wise by England. A lot of good performances. And I go back to the England didn't rotate. And with them not rotating, the bowlers looked a little bit predictable and tired a little bit. 5 games in 10 days, the quicker bowlers. So that was the only thing I picked up on the last game. But I think overall in the series, I think England have played some fantastic cricket, especially over where we're going to be in October.
I'm delighted to say that England captain Owen Morgan has joined us now. Owen, Neil Manthorpe here. In South Africa a year ago, you were absolutely on top of your game, but you said you still felt you could progress and get better and work on various aspects of your game. How would you rate the series? Obviously, it's disappointing to lose, but it was very competitive and highly entertaining. Does the knowledge that you gained outweigh the series result?
Yes, absolutely. I think the experience is completely invaluable. I think coming here, knowing that we would make mistakes along the way, regardless of the results in the games or the series, was a really healthy attitude to adopt. And I think game on game, we've learned little bits more about ourselves, both exposure and things to learn and build on moving forward, but also some really positives. You know, having played in the 2016 World Cup campaign all the way to the final and were beaten in the West Indies in India, we do have a lot of confidence here, but also playing against a really strong Indian team in their own conditions was a really good test for us. So lots of learnings and lots of positives as well.
Oh, and it seemed like you deliberately wanted to raise the stakes from just another bilateral series by showing your hand in some ways with what you regarded as your best 11. There are obviously no opportunities for Sam Billings and Liam Livingstone and Moeen Ali, but are you still happy with that with your approach to going in full strength, 100 miles an hour, and trying doing everything to win?
Yeah, very happy with that, Neil. I think more so because the opportunity to play our best 11 in a series doesn't happen that often. Over the last 12 months, we've only had one other instance throughout half a dozen series where we've been able to play our strongest 11. So you can have the strongest 11 on paper, but actually performing within that team, guys need to have role clarity, have very clear plans in what they're doing and feel comfortable in their own skin to do that. So that was an important exercise for us throughout this series. And you mentioned other players that didn't get an opportunity. You know, between here and the World Cup, there are going to be very few opportunities to get their strongest squad together. So there will be plenty of opportunities for guys like you've mentioned already and guys that sit outside the squad as well.
Oh, and you mentioned there, what sort of stuff do you feel as though England have learnt in this five-match series? And just on the back of today, was there a sense of learning that five games in 10 days, the intensity of the bowlers trying to hit the sort of back of a length and bowl as fast as they can just came up a little bit short, looked a little bit sort of fatigued towards the end of that first innings?
Well, it's nothing that we've ever come up against before, and we're not going to come up against it again. I think given the circumstances around COVID to play five games in 9 days, you know, it's a huge ask for all of our players, you know, particularly when we go unchanged a lot of the time. But given the nature of the series, and again, trying to highlight as much as we can, we wanted our team to be put under as much pressure as we can to try and replicate tournament mentality, which is very difficult to do in a bilateral series. But I think the things that I would highlight that we have gotten better at in four out of the five games, our power play bowling has been excellent. We've tried something different. We've tried Adil Rashid majority of the time. Sam Curran took the new ball as well. And it's been our best power play bowling for a long time. And probably the biggest stumbling block for us, and again, area of improvement, is that phase towards the end, four or five overs to go, both with the bat and the ball. You know, we were off the mark with both, certainly today, and a lot, probably in two more games, the other two games that we lost. And I think in the games that we won previously, you know, the top order looked after the majority of the runs that were scored. They faced majority of the balls, which is great. But our middle order just were off the pace a little.
Two players that probably will get talked about is obviously Mo and Ali goes home from a test matches and didn't play any part in this series. And my old mate Ben Stokes, seen him walk off the pitch there at the end of the game, looked not just dejected because obviously he's lost, but I've just seen possibly that not playing a greater part in the game. Is that having any ill effect on Ben?
Certainly not on Ben. No, Ben has a lot of energy in and around exactly what we're doing throughout this series. I think the direction in which the side is going, with one eye geared towards the T20 World Cup, he is one of our main driving players, both in the change room and on the field, in gearing towards that. He loves playing T20 cricket. He won't have a lot of opportunity to do it after the IPL finishes it. Actually, probably none before the World Cup. So it's actually really good to get some games under his belt now in conditions that we're going to play in. I think when you refer to Mo and Ali, he was considered for selection for every game that we played. You know, we turned up to every game thinking, you know what, the wicket's going to be drier today. It's 38, 39, 40 degrees. The ball might turn. And then we've turned up to the ground and the wicket has been rock hard and the ball hasn't turned a great deal. So that limits Moen's opportunities and obviously lends selection towards Sam Curran when you're trying to pick your best 11 on any given day.
Oh, and I want to thank you for your time and just get your thoughts very briefly on the idea that T20 cricket has become a science now. The level of analysis is something that I never foresaw. It used to be just go out there and hit the ball harder and further than the opposition and bowl Yorkers and you'll be all right. But it's extraordinary now, isn't it? The level of analysis. As I said, it's become a science.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. I love the analysis side of it. It's certainly an area in which can influence the game a huge amount. And, you know, in the matter of 120 balls, every player is trying to influence the game in its best form and trying to maneuver pieces a little bit like a puzzle. And teams that do it really well and teams that don't take advantage of that, I think, sort of go up and down a little bit. So I think it's an area that's continuing to evolve. You know, T20 as a whole has completely changed the landscape of cricket. And I think for the better as well.
Owen, thanks for your time and very best of luck in the ODIs.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Very lucid, Harmy. Disappointing, but it's not the series that matters, is it? That's in 6 months' time. It's called the T20 World Cup.
Absolutely, and no, he should be apologetic. He's Owen Morgan. He's the England captain who's won a great deal of things. And the questions I asked, I probably didn't ask them the right way. I've been aware that Ben Stokes dejected. Yes, he was dejected. More the fact that batting number six, he's not in the game. Ben Stokes needs to be in the game. And the Moeen Ali, he's up for selection. And I don't have a problem with that. But there is this long-term plan that England have set out. And the long-term roadmap that England have set out. And for me, it just doesn't look as though the right hand's talking to the left hand. We have had Chris Wokes not bowl a ball in a competitive match, really. You know, I don't think he did play any part of any of the stuff. And he goes home. Moeen Ali plays one test match. He goes home for a rest, comes back, doesn't play again. So, again, if they're looking... They're looking at long term, yes, and looking after the health of people. But there will be people out there who will criticise the selections of in the muddle thinking in that respect. Ben Stokes, I just don't make sense for me. Here is a world class batsman. Here is a world class performer. He has faced 56 balls in five games, five 2020 games, and our best player, our most destructive player in my eyes, has faced 56 balls. For me, that's nowhere near enough. In that, he's got a strike rate of 150 out of the 56 balls. Milan will be talked about. He played very, very well, but he's got a strike rate of 120 in the series. I think England have still got question marks to have, but I'll go back to what I said right at the top. England played some fantastic cricket in this series, and I think did they learn a great deal? I think, and we knew they were a good side before that. I think one thing we have learned is India are going to be a formidable outfit in their own back garden, trying to win a World Cup at home.
I mean, it was interesting after the 50 over World Cup. You know, it was such a crescendo, and it felt like a sort of that it might be the end of his career. And he said that he wanted to take a few days or weeks off to consider what he would do next and carry on. But he's come back and he appears to be as driven and he's held in awe by his players, isn't he? And this is a peculiar question, but do you think that he might his power, his presence, his influence might be slightly intimidating? It's a peculiar question. Do you know where I'm coming
from? Yeah, I know where you're coming from. A bit like Kohli to some of the extent of the younger players that look at maybe Virat in the same way. But England are a very experienced side. There's a lot of these players that talk about the journey that England have been on. A lot of these players have come together. The Morgans of this world. It's not as though Owen Morgan's like 40-year-old and everybody else is 25. They're all in and around their 30s. They've all got experience around them. And I just think they've come up against a good side in their own back garden. I think Owen Morgan looks as though he's driven. No problem with that. Is he still the best leader? Of course he's the best leader. He's a fantastic captain. Is he batting in the right spot? He probably is batting in the right spot. Yes, number five. I just think the one at this minute in time is the best player in the world on the rankings, has an average of 50. He's the fastest to 1,000 2020 runs. In David Milan, 24 innings, two more than Babar Azam, three more than Kohli, Finch and Kyle Rahul, 29 matches to get to 1,000 runs. And we're talking about him being our problem because he doesn't score quick enough at number three. But it's also fitting the right components in as well, England having another spin option. So whether it comes down to England learning that, you know what, we might have to lose a Jordan and play Moeen Ali a little bit further down, which I think would be a big thing for Owen Morgan. Owen Morgan's all about trust. Trust's a huge thing in his eyes. That's why Jason Roy consistently gets a run at the top of the order, because Morgan trusts him. That's why Alex Hales is not in this squad, because Morgan doesn't trust having Alex Hales around. Owen Morgan, if he's got a death over, he goes to Chris Jordan. because he trusts him. That, I think, is something in there might just have loosened a little bit going into India, and that might be the one. It'll be interesting to hear what Alex Tudor's got to say a little bit later on, but I think Chris Jordan could be the one where you get Mo and Ali into the side. But again, I go back to the problem we're talking about, and the one that we think is not our weak link, but to get our best player and Ben Stokes higher up the order, is the guy who's number one ranked batsman in the world. What a problem to have, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is fascinating, and it's a fascinating science, as Owen Morgan himself said. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of India's series win over England. Still to come, we'll get the Indian perspective from Chetan Narula, but next up, we discuss England's batsmen and the potential selection headaches ahead of the T20 World Cup in 6 months.
As in comes Hardik Pandya, and that is hooked away by Milan, and it's gone all the way. And he waits for it and cuts it away, and that is going to go for four. Well played, Jason Roy.
Sundar to finish the over, and Ben Stokes has gone yard on this one. This is going to land 12 rows back at square leg.
Four, just in there. Now Moeen Ali sweeps him over mid-wicket for six. This is astonishing stroke play.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of England's T20 series defeat to India. Don't forget, we'll be back for live and exclusive commentary of the three ODIs starting this Tuesday. This is the Cricket Collective with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison here on TalkSport 2. Right, let's talk about England's batsmen then, and their performance in the series, not just the fifth match, but overall. And I think it's time for a little bit of analysis. In fact, probably a lot of analysis, knowing Jared Kimber. And I'm just going to, without explaining it, I'm just going to throw the David Milan debate straight into your, I'm sure, welcoming lap, Jared. He still divides opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, because I made a video about him a couple of days ago, and it's called The Luck of David Milan, but it isn't really about him being particularly lucky. It's just how he's made most of his runs in internationals and really struggled domestically. And people are like, well, look at that innings. That proves that it's not just luck. And I'm like, but he had a strike rate of 147 in a game where he had to score a lot quicker than that. Sometimes it's more than just the runs you make. I actually thought he batted brilliantly for about the first, 30-odd balls.
Yeah.
And then I thought him and Virat both played the anchor role, and I thought for the first 30-odd balls, David Milan was far better in that role than Virat was. I thought Virat really struggled. But the problem was, once Butler got stuck a little bit, Milan couldn't get back into fourth or fifth gear, and I think they had about a 15 or a 16-ball period where it slowed down, and that's where all the wickets came. I still think Milan's a really good player. I just don't think he's in England's best six batters.
I agree, Jared. I think I look at it and I feel awful for saying it, because we shouldn't be talking ill about England having a batsman, a number one ranked batsman in the world. But the point you've just made there is where stats are misleading. At the same time, Virat Kohli and David Milan, after 30 balls, were playing the anchor innings brilliantly. And the number ranked bowler in the world got himself bogged down against a very good bowler. And a bowling attack who had been bowling brilliantly in England bowled at the best player in the world, if not one of the best players of all time. And he showed why he was like that. And he took the offensive route and kept it going. So for me, I think there's a lot of pressure on David Milan internal as well to try and prove to everybody, I've got to be this player. And I think that's starting to shine through. I'm not really... Sorry, man, just one last point. I'm not really of a... get Milan out, get Milan out, get Milan out, because I don't think he's very good. I actually think he's a very, very competent, very, very good and very top-class international batsman in playing with a white ball. The problem is, I have got somebody like Ben Stokes facing 56 balls in a five-match series at number six, and I think they're in the wrong place. And that, for me, is why I still come back to the fact that one of the best players in the world is England's problem.
It is fascinating. I mean, you look at IPL, for example, and someone like Sunil Narine, who's a kind of a pinch-hitting opener. Mm. And I don't have the stats. You do, maybe not to hand. But I just always get the impression that if somebody makes 20 off 10 balls or 30 off 15 balls at the top of the innings, is better than the player that makes a slow start that needs time to get himself in other words, a low risk strategy in conventional thinking, is actually a high risk strategy, because if he gets out for 20 off 20 balls, he's actually set his team back. What do the numbers say about David Milan? I mean, you know, he's got a career strike rate of 144 internationally and averages 50. And, you know, the numbers look absolutely great. But then the world ranking is also based on the number of runs rather than the importance of them.
Yeah, you got to remember that essentially T20 cricket is an efficiency sport. Now, you get 120 balls and it is your job as a team to make as many from those balls as you can. And that's not particularly how David Milan bats, and it's not how Virat Kohli bats, and there's more than a few guys out there who do that. The difference between that is that England's theory is really to not waste any of their balls. They have a deeper batting lineup, so they don't really need a David Milan, whereas there are many other teams. He would walk into the Australian side, I think, in current form, and there's quite a few other really good teams that he would walk into and be a very good member of. But in the England team, their strategy is we're going to have Adil Rashid batting at number 10 or 11. We don't need someone at the top taking 15 balls to get his eye in. And that's how David Milan likes to play. He went a bit quicker today, although I still think he was about one off four or five balls. But that's not the end of the world, because he caught up from that really quickly. And I think that's where the problem comes in. So you can have someone like Andre Russell is never going to average, over a long career, probably never going to average much more than David Milan. But Andre Russell is going to come in and bat the exact same way. He basically bats like it's the death, no matter what overs he comes in. And his impact on a team is just huge, because, if he comes in for the seventh over of the game, and that over usually goes at 5.5 runs and over, and he smashes 14 off it, his team is massively ahead of the game. And that's not how David Milan plays. Now, it does mean that if he was playing, if you're a franchise and you have a bunch of dashes around, but maybe not a very long, a very strong tail the way that England do, David Milan's a perfect player, because you can play him off other teams. In fact, the way that Virat Kohli played today, essentially, you have one guy block up one end, make sure that the score's ticking over, and then everyone goes at the other end. That's just not how England play. So he doesn't fit perfectly into it. And the other thing is that during that same period where you said he's got this incredible international average, and this incredible international strike rate, he doesn't in domestic cricket. He's been averaging in the 20s in domestic cricket, I think at a strike rate of about 132. So almost all of his best innings have been coming in a very few amount of international games spread over 5 years. And even David Milan said he's probably been a bit lucky that he's been picked at the right time a few times when he's been in great form and playing for England. And the times that they didn't pick him to play for England, he was actually struggling a little bit. So a lot of things have gone in his way. But I still think that, you could fit him into New Zealand or Australia without any problems. He'd be a really good player for South Africa at the moment. That doesn't mean he's in England's best 11. And this is a really good team. I mean, England, West Indies and India are probably the three best T20 teams in the world. And I'm not sure he would fit in any of those three teams, even if he would probably walk into almost any other team in the next World Cup.
And as well, man, as you talk, Jared, we talk about his series so far, and that sort of magnifies what we've been talking about. He got 24 off 23 balls in the first game, 24 off 20 balls in the second game, 14 off 17 balls in the third, 18 off 17. So you could understand why there was a bit of pressure on him when, Jared, you're talking about England's game plan and mentality has always been, we're just going to keep going. If somebody gets out, you keep going. Jason Roy gets runs, he gets runs quickly. Bairstow, exactly the same. And I'll keep harping on until I'm blue in the face about it in this hour. When you've got somebody like Morgan and Stokes, who have got a strike rate of what they've got, to come in behind that is just too little too late.
So, Jared, just finally, dispassionately, statistically and numerically speaking, how do you rate Harmy's view that Ben Stokes should bat at number three?
I think he stole that off me, didn't he? Or did I steal it off him? I can't remember.
I think we stole it off Tudes.
If you look at Stokes, he looks lost in the middle order. I know he played one good innings in this series. You're not getting much out of him. We also know he's not going to bowl his four overs as much, so we don't have to worry about the pressure on him of over bowling. But Rajasthan got the most out of Ben Stokes by putting him up the order. He can win you a game up the order. Not sure he's going to win that many games down the order for England. It's just not a natural position for him to be in. And if if you were to take Milan out of this side right now and you move Stokes to his position and you put Moen Ali at six, I think you actually make their middle order stronger and their top order potentially stronger. I think if that's the case, I think that's almost a no-brainer for me. And I'm not sure realistically why England hasn't done that so far, but that's how I believe that the team should go forward. I just think that is a stronger 11 than the current one. And there's nothing wrong with the other players that are available. It's just that we know that Stokes is something special. And if you can get, let's say, six overs a game out of Stokes and Moen Ali out of your top six, that gives you a lot of flexibility with the kind of bowlers that you can pick.
And as far as bowling is concerned, Jared, what's your view on Chris Jordan and death bowling, and just the fact that I'm going to ask this question of Alex Tudor in the next section. But trick balls, I mean, a few years ago, Chris Jordan was regarded as one of the great death bowlers because he mixed it up so much. But now it seems, and I'm interested in your statistical view on this, that mixing it up too much isn't the thing anymore. It's actually, you know, you need to have a stock ball you can go back to, whether it's hitting the top of off stump or whatever classic delivery it is. And Chris Jordan just looks, dare I say, maybe a little bit dated because he's too fancy.
Do you know what? I looked at Chris Morris, the South African who went for $28 billion in the last IPL auction, to see why he was getting paid that much money. And what you see with Chris Morris is, I think in the IPL, he's had two of the best years ever of a bowler in the death overs, and he's had a couple in the middle. He very rarely has a bad year. I happened, when I was having the look at the numbers, to see that Dwayne Bravo and Chris Jordan have had some of the best years in the IPL bowling at the death, and also some of the worst years and absolutely horrific years. And I think that Chris Jordan goes through whole periods where he really struggles at the death. He's not England's best death bowler. He's going at over 10 runs and over. And he has not been England's best death bowler in quite a while. I mean, Tamal Mills is going at just over 8 runs and over in the death, and Chris Jordan's going at closer to 10.5 runs and over. And Mills is taking more wickets than Jordan as well. And I haven't mentioned Harry Gurney, who's obviously another quality death bowler. I just think that it's funny you talk about the tricks. My theory with Jordan was he was one of the most accurate death bowlers. He bowled a little bit like Bhuvi Kumar or like Peter Siddle, in that he could hit Yorkers more often than other people. I think over time you need more tricks than that, and I think he's got one kind of slow ball. Perhaps he's got maybe a second one that he uses occasionally, whereas you either need a killer slow ball like something like Dwayne Bravo's, or you need Chris Morris's consistent 90 mile an hour Yorkers. And I think Chris Jordan's sort of just caught between those two positions at the moment. And I think that occasionally for those death bowlers, you get this huge variance between their best and their worst. And I just think that, sadly for Jordan, his worst is happening right at the moment, not far out from a World Cup. Clearly, Owen Morgan still backs him, but he's just not the death bowler that he was a couple of years ago. But we saw Owen Morgan back Liam Plunkett for a long time, and that came good in the World Cup. So it'd be really interesting to see what they do.
Jared, brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. I could listen to you all day. I'm not always sure that I'm smart enough to understand everything that you say, but
that's me, Gondon.
Thank you, Jared. I just love the analysis. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of the T20 series between India and England. We've spoken about England's batsmen, but next up, me and Steve Harmison are joined by former England bowler Alex Tudor to discuss the performances of the bowlers. You're listening to TalkSport 2.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Archer in, right arm over the little bit of wicket, shrugged on by Kale Rahul. Archer has the first wicket of the series.
Here he is, final ball of the first over.
Sam Curran has got it across him and it's just feathered the edge.
One slip for Wood as he goes into Rahul,
bowled him! Middle stump at 45 degrees.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of India's narrow but exciting 3-2 series win over England in the T20s. If you missed any of the show so far or wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast, now available on the Following On feed via the free TalkSport app. But it's time now to discuss the performances of the bowlers, and I'm joined by two men who are more than qualified to discuss this topic, former England bowlers Steve Harmison and Alex Tudor. Right, disappointing final match of the series for England then. Let's look at the bowlers, having conceded 224 runs. It was obviously a bad day in the office, but did they make errors? Who are the men who made progress? Who are the ones that there are question marks about? Why didn't Moeen Ali get a game in the series? Let's talk to Alex Tudor, who has been part of the commentary team. Tudes, Mark Wood had a sort of a hit and miss type series, didn't he? Was either very good or, in the last game, very expensive. But is he a shoe-in to start for you, along with Jofra Archer and Adil Rashid?
Yeah, for me, he is. And hello, Manners. Yeah, good to hear from you. Yeah, I will definitely start with Mark Wood. I just like that pace that he has, you know, to test these batsmen, you know, to test their ticker. I know it's only 20-20, but when you're bowling 90-plus miles an hour and it's coming at your head or your nose hole, as I say, you know, you need to be brave. And unfortunately, sometimes at the back end of the innings, you know, a batsman's going to catch you. And if you get your length wrong, and for me today, England's length and line was all wrong. It was just in that hitting zone, sort of waist height. They, you know, when they were bowling their bouncers, they didn't quite get it short enough. And then when they tried to bowl their Yorkers, they didn't get that right. Or they just didn't bowl enough Yorkers for me. I know the game has moved on from when I've played, but I just don't understand why bowlers in T20 format don't bowl enough Yorkers. And for me, they need to do that. When Bhuvneshwar Kumar came back onto bowl, what did he bowl? Yorkers. He only ended up going for 15 runs. And I just feel sometimes the bowlers try and overcomplicate things. And I just think they, you know, you've got 24 balls, bowl your best 24 balls. You know, you practice and practice. And I just don't understand why, you know, they can't back themselves to bowl Yorkers or the. You know, the low full toss about ankle shin height, because that can only go one way. The batsman's only going to hit you down the ground, and you can set your field for that.
Jude, you talked about, you know, bowling. I thought England were a little bit predictable with the way they were bowling. But I also thought, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, this is 5 games in 10 days, and England have kept the same side. So, and majority of the time, the same side. So, them bowlers, I think, you talk about executing their plans and nailing them. They were doing them on day one. Game one, but game five, is that a criticism on selection? Because the bowlers did look not tired, they looked mentally a bit weary, because it looked as though, yes, they were predictable. There was no feel to it. You know, they talk about matchups and say, right, this ball to this batsman, the way it goes. But you know yourself, you know, talking from experience of fast bowling, sometimes you just have to go on a gut feel to think, well, that's not working. I actually have to change this.
Yeah, definitely, Harmy. And I, as you rightly say, you know, 5 games in 10 days, the Indian batsmen, it's like they got accustomed to the bowlers. And as you say, Owen Morgan didn't really change the side. He doesn't really like to do that. You know, to play in this T20 side, you've got to earn your stripes. He's not just giving away a cap. You know, we would have liked to have seen Moeen Ali come into the side. He likes Sam Curran in the side because it gives him an option. But he's bowling one or two overs, if that. He's batting, coming in at 9. So, you know, could his position be best suited for Moeen Ali? That's going to be a little bit more destructive, maybe coming in at 6. He's going to bowl a lot more overs than, say, Sam Curran. But I just think the execution of it, you know, with the bowling wasn't quite right. And it was like, I don't know if they figured out, you know, especially when Hardik was batting, it was like when he goes offside first, you know, especially when he face up, he then the next ball, he will show you stumps. He goes leg side. And I don't know if the England bowlers cotton on to that. Gerard, who, you know, the analyst here, he sort of says he does that quite regularly. He does it for the Mumbai Indians. And I'm not too sure. You would like to think with all the statisticians and all the people they have at their disposal that they would have most probably, you know, seen that once Hardik gets going.
I wanted to ask you, Tudes, about Chris Jordan. I mean, he's by his own standards. I mean, there's the catch, of course.
Yes.
That's one of the great highlights of my 30 years covering professional cricket. That was spectacular. But his main job is obviously to bowl.
Yes.
And he's had a fairly torrid time, getting more and more expensive. He's, you know, back in the day, and that's only like 3 or 4 years ago in T20 cricket, he was known for being brilliant because of his tricks. Now you're talking about the move to going back to, you know, hit the top of off stump. You know, what's your stock ball? What is your stock ball? Do you think that with the extent of analysis now, batsmen and teams are sort of have figured out his tricks and his slower ball bounces and his back of the handers and all that sort of thing? I mean, you know, he went for 57 in the last game.
Yeah, he's been under pressure. I know, you know, we were picking, John was asking for us, you know, to pick our 11s, and he was in mine. He wasn't in Kate's or Gerard's 11, purely because, you know, they feel maybe he's lost that ability to bowl that Yorker pretty much at will. He bowls that wide one. He follows the batsman. For me, he's bowling a little bit too much change up. Is that off cutter halfway down? Batsmen are now, especially in T20 cricket, are setting themselves, and the quicker balls now the surprise. I just think, you know, bowl more quicker balls. You know, batsmen, you know, these grounds are small, they're strong, the bats are big. Even miss hits are going out the ground now. So I just feel, you know, he will have to just go back to, you know, he's going to now, he's in the IPL. You know, he's, you know, if he bowls for his franchise, he's going to have to, you know, work on this if he wants to get himself back into that final 11. But I know Owen Morgan trusts him and likes him in the side. But after these last two games that he's played, you know, his selection is going to be up for debate for sure.
And Tudes, the big one for me, watching somebody I know very, very well walk off the field there tonight, so dejected, it was ridiculous. And Ben Stokes, what do we do with that man? Because I'm looking at some, you know, you can go at stats, you can go at matchups, you can go 2020, where's the right place, Milan or whatever. I'm not bothered about Milan. I'm not bothered about anybody else. I look at Ben Stokes and think he is our best player. And I've seen him walk off the field tonight. He's faced 56 balls in five innings, or five in five matches. For me, that's not enough.
It's not. No.
Where do you go with Ben Stokes?
He's batting three for me, Harmy. We spoke about it when we was on air during the third game. For me, you know, his franchise said, we're paying him all this money. Where are we going to get the best out of Ben? Well, they stuck him up the order. What did he do? He went and got 100. You know, I just feel, you know, with your best players, they need to face more balls. I just don't think he's best suited coming in as he was tonight. You know, what was he, 14 from 12 or whatever it was. I just feel, you know, 14 from 12 balls he was tonight. That's not Ben's game. He needs to be in. And as you say, if it's at the cost of David Milan, which is going to be debate, you know, people are saying, you know, he eats up balls or whatever. They saw his strike weight of 144, he's ended up getting 68 from 46, but he actually slowed down. Yeah. And then the pressure came on the other guys, and then they felt they needed to go. You know, if he, I think he had the lowest strike rate of anyone who got 20 plus runs in this game, which will tell you something, even though people from maybe outside the game that don't quite get it will be like, well, he's got 68 from 46, that's fantastic. But actually, when you're chasing down 225, he needs to be striking at 170, 180 for me. So I think you need to get Ben higher up the order to get the best out of him. I think we were having a discussion where Butler's best suited. I think if we're batting first, maybe he opens, definitely. But if we're chasing, maybe if he's a little bit lower down, sort of floating, he might just give you that, you know, because there's no better finisher for me in the England side than Butler.
The David Milan debate is absolutely incredible, really. I mean, he's just become the fastest to 1,000 runs in 24 innings. His career strike rate's 144. And yet, he still inspires all this debate. And there are so many people who remain unconvinced about him at number three. And there would be room for another all-rounder, I guess, if Ben Stokes batted at number three. But overall, Chudes, and to you as well, Hommy, I mean, for me, Owen Morgan raised the stakes by insisting on having his best squad, his full-strength squad, and then by not really using them, you know, only making the one change in the five games. So is this a big setback? I mean, he's raised the stakes, and this is not just a bilateral series, is it? I mean, it was almost like it was a kind of precursor to the T20 World Cup, even though it's over 6 months away. Is that, consequently, is the level of disappointment greater for England? Is this 3-2 series defeat a bigger loss than it should have been?
I think that he'll be happy in some points. I mean, you know, when the toss went up today, I was hoping when he won it that he was actually going to bat first, just so we could see something different, because I just don't think you're going to win a World Cup chasing all the time. I know he's thinking of now get this series won to win in India, because they don't lose too often. This is now 8 series that they've not lost in a row. It would have been a good feather in their cap, but I just think, did we miss a trick? You know, maybe, and as you said, you know, maybe not seeing enough, like get Mo in the side. He's been there. He's only really played, what, one game or so. So, you know, we need to see what he's about also. So there'll be disappointment. There'll be reflection. There'll be, you know, what is our best side? I don't think we figured that out. I know we all have our opinions and options, but it really doesn't matter. It's what Morgan feels is going to be his best 11 and what 11 he goes in with come October.
Yeah, I agree with what Jude's just saying there. And I look at this man, as I look at it this way, what did we go in to try and do? We looked at it to try and win the series with our best team, because potentially we weren't going to get our best team until October, until the T20 World Cup comes about. I don't think we learned too much, really. I think what we learned was we still got question marks on what our best batting order is. We still got question marks on some of our bowlers at the death. We didn't see a great deal of some of the players that were in the squad that potentially, if a finger injury or we're going to India, yeah, you could have a tummy upset and one of the top six comes out and either a Liam Livingstone or something like that has to go in. So I think when you look back at it, everything that England have shown, I already knew. Fantastic white ball side. Disappointed to lose this last game. Fair enough. But they played some fantastic cricket in between. Some unbelievable cricket in between. This is what this team does. I think there's still the same question marks at the start of the series than what there will be right now. Whether Owen Morgan says that or not, I'd be very, very surprised if he does. And again, I think there's still a huge number of question marks going into that T20 World Cup.
Indeed. In part four, we'll be heading to India to get the Indian perspective with Chetan Narula. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. Still to come, as I said, we'll be heading to Delhi to find out how India are reacting to the 3-2 series win. This is The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Sam Curran hits another one to finish off. Well, that'll put a little bit of a smile on the English faces at the end of it. It's not going to be enough, but Sam Curran smashes this one back past the bowler over his own head for 6. India have won this game, though, by 36 runs.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of the T20 series between India and England. It was the hosts who ultimately edged it 3-2, inflicting a first T20 series defeat on England since 2018. And it's time now to head to Delhi to see how the home side are reacting to this series, as cricket writer and broadcaster, my old friend Chetan Narula, joins us on the line. Chets, India got better and better. I suppose they were, you know, like two good classic heavyweights. They traded punches and landed a few knockout blows in the early games. But when it came to the decider, game 5, it was India all over it.
Absolutely, Neil. I think India just did everything perfectly today. I mean, when you have 225 on the board, any aggressive batting lineup is going to struggle to get that. Yes, I mean, there's dew around and it'll help. But it's about carrying momentum through those 20 overs. And once you lose a couple wickets very quickly, and especially two set batsmen like Jos Buttler and Dhawan Malan. So that momentum doesn't come back. But again, coming back to India, they did everything right. I think it was a very courageous decision from Virat Kohli to open the innings. It could have spectacularly backfired, especially with Adil Rashid opening the bowling, but it did not. And he anchored the innings through Rohit Sharma, Surya Kumar Yadav. They were brilliant. I mean, you didn't even need Rishabh Pant and Shreyas Iyer to bat, and they had 230 all on the board. So it said it all. I think India had a plan, executed it perfectly. And the most pleasing aspect for them is that they batted first. They lost the toss, they batted first, and they manufactured a series win out of it. So it's been stupendous for them.
Jen, you talked about Virat Kohli opening a bat. Do you think this is him for the tournament coming up? And to follow up that, how do you get, if Kohli does go in first, how do you get Kishant Yadav in possibly on the same side?
Well, it's the same thing about Indian selection every time. It doesn't ever stop. It's just a game of musical chairs. It just keeps going on and on. And when the music stops, basically anybody who's lucky enough to find a chair, can consider themselves very, very lucky indeed. I mean, you're talking about Ishan Kishan and Surya Kumar Yadav. Tell me about KL Rahul. Where does that leave KL Rahul? He's
exactly,
not played
yeah.
cricket for the last 3 months. And he's been woefully out of touch, which you would expect him to regain playing regularly in the IPL, spending time in the middle. And today the captain walks out to bat, walks out to open, and he plays such a brilliant knock. And he announces that he's going to open in the IPL and that he might want to bat in that position in T20 international cricket as well. So it's leaving a lot of open-ended questions, and that is habitual from the Indian skipper. That's habitual from the Indian team management as well. And this is something that I don't like about the Indian team. They fiddle around just so much. I mean, you look at England. Yes, they lost today, but that is a team with set plans. And they're still favourites for the T20 World Cup from me. India just fiddle around too much. Mind you, it's the best position for Virat Kohli in T20 cricket. But it's not just about Virat Kohli, is it? It's also about how the other parts of the puzzle fit in. And for me, KL Rahul has to play. For me, Surya Kumar Yadav has to play. So it can't just be about Virat Kohli opening the batting, can it?
Well, Chets, that's really interesting because to me, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that India won the series 3-2. The fact that they had, that every team has these enlarged squads at the moment. The fact that India had the courage of their convictions and backed everybody and rotated and experimented. I mean, that seems to me, I'm really surprised to hear you say that you think they fiddled too much. I think they fiddled just enough. And, if they were asking questions of players and formats and how players react in certain situations, they asked those questions. And I think they got a lot more answers than England did.
That's an interesting point of view, Neil. And I don't want to disagree with that because the crux of the matter is that India...
No. Please do disagree if you want.
No, I'm getting there, Neil. It's just that India need to figure out what their squad is. And for that purpose, yes, they went about, doing the experimentation and trying to figure out what their best combination is. For me, 6 bowlers works, 5 bowlers doesn't work. They need that all-round element, both in pace and spin. So yes, in that sense, they have. But then you look at the 2019 World Cup. What also helps is that in certain situations, you need particular batsmen or you need particular bowlers to come out on top. So you can't have Surya Kumar Yadav batting at 3 in the build-up to the T20 World Cup. And then during the T20 World Cup, you ask him to bat at 5 or 6. Similarly with Shreyas Iyer, he's batted at 3 and 4 throughout his T20 career. And now he's being asked to bat at 5 and 6. So that, for me, is fiddling around. Again, the KL Rahul question, the whole of last year and the year before that, he's been asked to open the batting in T20 cricket. He's been your designate opening batsman. Before that, he was asked to bat in the middle. Now, there's a question mark that he might not even play. So, for me, this fiddling around needs to stop at a particular time. And yes, you're right, they need to do it right now. But there's a chance that they might play 6 T20s before the T20 World Cup at home against South Africa and New Zealand. I want the experimentation to stop. I want them to figure out a batting lineup. Maybe keep 2-3 positions handy, keep them versatile. But apart from that, they need to have a fixated order because 2019, they lost it because of the fact that they did not have a fixated middle order beyond the top 3 positions. So that cost them the World Cup. It could cost them again.
Chin, does it, and I've got a different point, but just to come off the back of what you've just said there, is it simply, if Virat Kohli gets something in his mind, i.e. like, I want to go and open a batting, because he didn't want to bat four in the first game, is that more or less what Virat wants, Virat gets? So that's your KL Rahul out the side, and that means you've got pretty inexperienced middle order. And I can understand what you're saying there, try and get a settled team ready for that October T20 World Cup. But one person that has stood out for me, and I think he's brilliant, I've always thought he's one of the best white ball bowlers in the world whenever he's played, and that's Bhuvaneshwar Kumar. What do you do with Bhuvaneshwar Kumar between now in October to give him enough overs to keep him, to make sure he's fit for that tournament? Because he could be the difference between winning and losing that tournament, because we've just seen there in a high-scoring match, whenever you get a high-scoring match, there's one bowler stands out, and more often than not, he wins the game.
Well, I'll tell you what they need to do is, Ravi Shastri needs to pick up his phone. He needs to call up BVS Lakshman, who is the team mentor of Sunrisers Hyderabad, and he needs to tell him, listen, you have Bhuvaneshwar Kumar for the IPL. Make sure you don't overwork him. Make sure you manage his workload. Make sure he's ready and fit after the IPL finishes. That is the key for me, because it's happened way too many times that he's overbowled and then he gets injured and then he takes 2-3 months to come back, because there's an England tour as well coming up. India need Bhuvaneshwar Kumar for that. So for me, it's about managing the workload, not only of Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, but also of Jasprit Bumrah, because he too is just returning from a stress fracture in his back. Similarly for Hardik Pandya, these are three very, very crucial medium pacers for India's T20 World Cup hopes. Wrap them up in cotton wool when you don't play them. Make sure their franchisees and the Indian team are managing their workload to the T. They need to play the T20 World Cup. More than Virat Kohli opening the batting, they need these three pacers at the T20 World Cup.
Chetan, thank you so much for your time. It's massively appreciated. Hope you enjoy the ODI series, and let's hope it's just as exciting. Thanks, mate.
Thanks. Cheers.
Well, Homi, just a minute to go. Let's have a look at that. The three ODIs. It's clearly a T20 year, and so I just it occurs to me that when England is striving for relevance in the 50 over. In the 350 over internationals, they might just be sort of, let's set up T20 scenarios. let's do the 30 overs and then set up T20 scenarios, which is something that happens in ODI cricket anyway at the moment. And there's lots of the same personnel. So let's not hide from the fact that there'll be more T20 learning to come from the three ODIs.
No, there'll be a lot more to come. I think we'll get a lot more players. Part of me just wants them to bring a new rule in where we play two innings, 50 overs, and just say, right, we'll declare our first 30 overs none for none, and we'll forfeit after 30 overs and just play 20-20 for the next three. Because if we had another three 20-20 matches, I'd be over the moon, because I think this was bottling up beautifully. But they're going into the longer format where you'll probably see Bairstow go back up the top. Butler will probably come back down into that middle order. Billings will probably come in for Milan. You'll see Mo and Ali play, and because the spin twins bowl really well together. So you'll see a few subtle changes. You might see Rhys Topley have a game instead of potentially Wood and Archer. There's a lot of talk about Archer and his fitness and potentially missing part of the IPL, I think, which if he does do that, and that's a different story again, it will be fair play to Jofra Archer, and he will knock a lot of critics and put them back in the box. And if he does that, I'll be one of them, because it will be brilliant if he does put England first. But it'll be a fascinating series. India will have a strong pool to pick from, and hopefully England aren't mentally fatigued, because there's been a lot put into this last 10 days, a hell of a lot, not just from the captain and some of the fast bowlers, but I think there's been a lot put into this tour so far. So I hope it ends positively. I hope it doesn't end on a whimper, and it possibly could because of the energy that they've exerted in it. So fingers crossed, some new players, new energy, just one or two, and we get an excellent three-match 50-over series, because I think if we do, then I think we've had a pretty good tour from entertainment point of view on Talk Sport of the England's trip to India.
Yeah, let's hope for a fantastic ODI series. Thanks, Harmy. You've been listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and Double Ashes winner Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the following on feed, now available via the free TalkSport app. This has been the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.